Praise the name of the Lord. Only believe, only believe. That's what the chorus says. Just to reinforce it, shall we just have a only believe again right now, just before I pray for the service? And sometimes we can sing something from our head, but we want it to drop down and come from our heart. Let's sing Only Believe, just a short chorus.
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only
it just takes our believing what you've said. And what you've said you will do. You already know, Lord, the beginning from the ending. You know our every step we take, every thought we have, every desire we have. You know about it already, Lord. We've come here this morning, Lord, and thankful that you're here. The Holy Spirit to have its way with us, each one. We thank you, Lord, that you're with those that listen in on the internet, Lord. Their thoughts are also recorded by you already. You know the start from the finish. We're so very glad, Lord, that we can sing from our heart. And for those, Lord, that may not be aware of that, it was just words in a song. No, it's not. It's the desire from our heart. Help us, Lord, to receive what you have for us, because we know that you do have something for us. We've come here not by chance, because you've ordered it, Lord. And there'll be something for each one of us if we just wait. Seek what you have for us, and it'll drop into our heart. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen. Love the Lord Jesus. Shall we stand and sing 653, Everybody Ought to Know? What do they ought to know? Well, you'll be singing about it and you'll know what we're singing about. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know, but a lot of people do know, but the big problem is they don't believe, or they think it's about for everybody else, or just those people at that church, or only if we think about it occasionally. Wrong. We've got to believe what we know. Believe it. Not for us, in my case, for me. The Lord Jesus deals one-on-one. He's not here because the church is here so much as you are here to listen to him. Think about that. Let's sing 612, As the Deer. Just remember this one as we sing, because when we're in trouble, we need to come to Jesus. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and long to worship thee. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire. My cheer, you alone It's a simple thing to do, but a needful thing to do is to worship the Lord from our heart. Let's sing 133. Once my soul was astray from the heavenly way, and I was wretched and vile as could be. But my Savior above gave me peace, joy, and love when he reached down his hand for Lee and me, you folks, and you people watching on. Once my soul was astray from the heavenly way, and was wretched and vile as could be. Thank you. You know, it's just the truth, exactly the truth. He reached down his hand for you. The Lord's not concerned about everybody else when he's dealing with you. No thing is in his mind other than you. You know, that's the truth. Of a man, it couldn't be. You can't think of everybody. But this Jesus Christ, who we worship, is God himself, the creator. And he can talk to everybody in this world at the same time and hear everything they say, think, or do, what they've done and what they're going to do. So it's easy to believe in the Lord. He's with you, and you're never alone when he's with you. Okay, well, let's sing one more, 604. Then I'll ask Brother Charlie if he'll bring his item for us. Okay, If We Never Meet Again, number 604. Praise the name of the Lord.
If we never meet again, on earth my precious friend.
Seated, and Brother Charlie will bring his item. Thank you, Paul. And immediately after that, we'll have Brother Pessa.
Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. We give him all the praise and all the glory. Because he is worthy to be praised and to be glorified. For he is the Lord God Almighty. Amen. And we are his children, aren't we? Are we his children? Praise God. So I'm going to sing a song this morning. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Amen. I'm so glad. You can join in with me if you like. I would like you to join in with me anyway, but never mind. Praise the Lord. Here we go.
I
I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. On my way to heaven, shouting victory. On my way to heaven, shouting victory. On my way to heaven, shouting victory. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. Is that right? Praise God. Amen. Give God all the glory and the praise. He is worthy to be praised and to be glorified. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Ready there. Just letting you know that we have a luncheon immediately after the service, and all's welcome and invited. And then at 1 p.m. we have a service here as usual. It's a shorter service than this one, and you're welcome. And then a reminder that we have a 7 p.m. Tuesday pre-meeting, and you're all invited to that too. May the Lord bless you.
We've been singing this song, and really means a lot to me. And as I've said, I mentioned this before, someone had cancer. She was 40 years old. She was from England, Sussex, England. And how blessed she was. She didn't care about dying, but all she did, she was memorizing Genesis 1 when Jacob fled his brother Esau to the desert. And then in the evening, he felt a bit lonely. So he fell down in a rock and slept. And that's how it is about this song. Anyway, even we've been singing this before, but it's never going to be old. The words of God have all been there. God bless everyone.
Nearer, my God, to thee. Nearer to thee, and though it be a cross that raises me, feel all my soul shall be.
my Tongan brethren. Very nice. Lord bless that. Very good. We have a prayer request here, just one or two. And you may have some that you have that you want to bring before the Lord. Well, I'm going to ask Brother Taz to pray for these, if he'd come when he feels to come. There's one here from Susan. We don't know who Susan is, but the Lord does. Mother of Amy, that she would obey the voice of God and come to see Jesus Christ. A lot of people know about the Lord but don't know the Lord because they haven't moved their feet or got in a position to hear what the Lord has to say to them. Mari Claffey is not well today, and we've been asked to pray for her. She's here most of the time. Brother Tim has a request before the Lord at this time, our Brother Tim, so just remember whatever that request is, and Brother Tim. And not forgetting the Hildebrandts there in Australia for their needs that we've prayed for last week. And remember that we generally pray for Israel. So thank you, Brother Taz, if you'd like to pray. And anyone else, if you have a prayer request before the Lord, that's who? Melissa Morrison. She's not well at this time, so we just remember her. And if you've got anything else, let the Lord know as our brother prays.
Thank you. For those who are listening and for those who are here, if you have a prayer on your heart, just take your right hand, cross your body, put that right hand on your heart. God is a God of hearts. He can hear. He can hear all those prayers from your heart. Our God is absolutely sovereign over all things, over everything, including all of his creatures. God is totally sovereign. And whatever happens in your life, my life, God is in control. Amen. We can trust our Father. God has promised that when you and I go through the floods of life, he won't take you and I around, but he will take us through. When you and I go through the fires of life, he won't take us around. He will take us through. So whatever is going on in your life and in the lives of those who are listening, remember that God is a mighty God. Yes. He is totally sovereign, absolutely sovereign. Nothing happens apart from his good and perfect will, plan, and purpose. God is God. And all we do is just say, Lord, I trust in you. I'm going through a hard time. But there is a plan. There is a purpose. Help me to not only see, but to know what you're trying to work in me and out through me, through what I'm going through. And so, Father, we thank you so much, oh God. Lord, that we can trust you. You're a loving God. You're an amazing God. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Father, all of your people, as far as you are concerned, Lord, they are not on this earth. They are not even in this world, so to speak, but they are seated at your right hand in Christ, in that place of highest honor. That's where your people are. That's where they belong. And, Lord, this world is not our home. We are only passing through. And so we can entrust you with the good, the bad, and the ugly. Knowing, O Father, that nothing again happens in the lives of your people apart from your own good will, plan, and purpose. So, Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Tess. Thank you, Brother Taz. Well, he prays that. You would think he knew Jesus, and he does. But, you know, I get these dumb thoughts at times that the Lord doesn't do this, of course, but if someone goes down to pray for them and they start praying, and the Lord could say, yeah, excuse me, what's your name? Where do you live? Where are you from? And yet they talk to the Lord like they know him. And they haven't actually made that decision, given their heart to the Lord. So when we pray, we want to pray to someone we know, somebody that the Lord knows well. Of course he knows you, even if you were never around anywhere. He knows. He knows the complete unsaved people out there. They don't know that they're the son or daughter of God yet. But the point I'm making, as you can see, is that we need to talk to the Lord frequently, genuinely, honestly, that he knows that you know what you're asking. Expect the answer. I've sometimes said up here, you know, if you don't believe the Lord when you're praying, why pray? You put a problem in front of the Lord that's a problem to you. It's not a problem to our Lord. But we've got to believe that we're going to get answered. It may be a no, it may be a later, or could be that we've got to change something. But the Lord still knows and does what he will do. Praise the name of the Lord. Let us sing one here. I did have one here. The love of God. That's good. The love of God. Number 93. Shall we stand as we sing that? Knowing the truth of the words. And knowing that it's for you. And he does know that we're singing to him.
The love of God is great in my
Thank you.
you know what I mean? It's a lovely, lovely word. We'll sing one more, then Brother Howard will come. It's called Standing Somewhere in the Shadows. You'll find Jesus is the word. He's the one who always cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. Jesus, what a privilege we are in, Lord, to be able to know about Jesus Christ and you crucified and raised again, and that you've forgiven us of every sin and iniquity that we've ever committed. You knew it before you said, that is my son, that is my daughter, and put our names in the Lamb's Book of Life before he made the heavens and the earth. Wow. There's no doubt that you are God, Lord. Never doubted it, actually. But Lord, you know us individually, each one, personally. We lift up your name above every name. Just be with us, Lord. Be with the people listening in. And may we take what you have for us today. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask this. Amen. You may be seated.
Praise the Lord. I shall know him by the nail prints in his hands. Does anybody know who wrote that portion? I know my wife does. I've taught her not to answer. She knows all the answers. Who knows who wrote that? I shall know him. Fanny Crosby. And the reason it was written was she was blind. She couldn't see a thing. And somebody mocking and saying, oh, Fanny, how are you going to get on when you get to heaven? You won't be able to see him. She said, I'll know him. I'll know him by the nail prints in his hands. This is the one that died for me. Isn't that beautiful? Wasn't that wonderful? What an inspired sister she was. Written over 5,000 hymns. And we appreciate them and we sing them today. We thank God for it. Praise the Lord. So it's good to have you here this morning, and some not here, but we know one thing is for sure, the Lord is here. He said, we're two or three gathered together in my name. There am I in the midst. So we just pray that he'll speak to us today and bless you and all those that will be joining with us on the internet, wherever they would be. Praise the Lord. So I wonder if we could stand for the reading of God's word from the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. We know this pretty well. We all should be able to quote it. Ephesians 4:30. It says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. I love that verse. So wonderful. Let's read it again. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Praise be to God. I also like to read from Revelation chapter 9, verse 4. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass or the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Though this is really a quite an important subject, and I pray that God will quicken it to our hearts this morning. I wonder if we could just pray. Lord Jesus, we come to Thee, our lovely one, the one we've just been singing about, the one with the nail prints in his hands, sitting on the right hand of God, making intercession on our behalf as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. We thank you, Lord, that we don't have to go to hell. We can go to heaven. If we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved and thy house. Lord, I just pray that you'd make that real to everybody today, Lord. Let us understand, Lord, the goodness of the Lord and your desire to help us and to bless us, as Brother Taz prayed this morning. Lord, may it be a reality to every heart. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. I've entitled this Seal of God. Seal of God. Now, when God makes a seal, it's pretty foolproof. And we know just as some comments, the seal from the beginning of a seal from the beginning of time has always been respected. You may not see it too much today, but it's still there regardless. In the early days, men used to use seals to sign important agreements and documents. And often they had a ring on their finger. They put it into the wax. And they put it on the page where the signature was, and that was a seal. That was an authority that this is a bona fide signature by that person's seal. And it was a very serious offense to try to forge somebody else's seal. And from a scriptural standpoint, the seal of God cannot be imitated or faked. Isn't that wonderful? God's seal is controlled by God alone. Sometimes men try to imitate it. That's not the same thing at all. So from a natural standpoint, a seal has some wonderful attributes, a seal. Now, when I was a kid, just seen the other day, but it's not, they tell me. It just seen the other day. But when I was a child, my mother used to preserve fruit. Do you Tongan brethren do that? You preserve fruit, heat it up, put it in a jar. And you didn't just put it in the jar, you put a seal on it. And when that jar cooled down, it created a vacuum on the top of the jar, and it sucked down on top of that fruit. And when that was sealed properly, you could tell if it's sealed. It hadn't popped. My mother used to do this all the time. They did in Gisborne. It's very common because of the fruit we have here. They put the seal on and it kept the fruit. You can come back in a year's time, Brother Pessa, and that fruit is as good as the day it was put in there. The seal preserves. Now think about your life. Just think on this. The seal preserves. And we spoke the other day about a railway carriage. We used to see them coming here. I used to go down there sometimes where I was working and unload the carriages for the company I worked for. But they used to put a seal on the door. A seal go on that padlock. And that meant that padlock that carriage cannot be unlocked until it's reached its destination, which may be Gisborne or Auckland or wherever it's going to. It has to remain sealed because the seal says so. So we see that's how they were used. And I think it's really an amazing thing. All these types show us how powerful God, the seal of God is. As we have read from the scripture, the seal of God is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now just remember this, the seal of God is not coming to this church. The seal of God is not just paying your tithes. God bless everyone that does. It's not that. It's more to that. God's got to put a seal on you. God does this. He puts a seal on you. And it is truly a wonderful seal. And when God puts a seal on you, it doesn't come off. It doesn't fall off. The seal is there for eternity because God controls the seal. It's the Holy Ghost that comes into a person's life. It's there for good. So we just pray that God will grant us the true seal of God. And it's God's recognition. When he puts a seal of God on you, when he gives you the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is a supernatural experience, it's not an imagination, it's a supernatural experience. When God gives you the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that is actually a sign that he has accepted your faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, it seals it, and your faith is sealed. So these are important things. Now we go back, just as a type, we go back to the beginning. And from the beginning, there was a seal. We know there was a seal and there's also a mark. The devil has the mark. You've all heard it for years. The mark of the beast. The devil has a mark too. But God has a seal. And from the beginning, we know the mark of the beast, the seal of God, started in Genesis. Genesis is a seed chapter. Everything that's happened, you just go back to Genesis, you'll see it manifested there. And the mark of the beast was placed on Cain by God himself. It was. It was placed on him by God himself. It was a mark of distinction separating Cain from the true believer, his brother, Abel. And the seal that was placed on Abel was the mark of ownership. God put a seal on him. And when we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I said to you, it's a supernatural experience. It's not, oh, I think I've got it now. No, you'll know when you receive it. And so will others. Hallelujah. Let's say praise the Lord. And brother and sister, this is the most important thing in this world. Far more important than your job. Far more important than your house. Far more important than your money is to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Don't forget that. Really important. And so we see it was a very important thing. God put that there. Now Cain, he was very religious. You see what I'm saying, brothers and sisters? You don't go to church and that's really nice. But when God puts a seal on you, that's a sign of ownership that you belong to him forever. So this is really important. It's not just coming to church and saying, I believe the Lord. Yeah, hallelujah, praise God. I repent, yeah. It's more than just repent. It's more than just being baptized. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the seal. And so we see that in the Garden of Eden, it was like that. There's a conflict between the mark of the beast and the seal of God, and it was apparent. Cain and Abel in Eden. And Cain, being very spiritual, He was spiritual. What I say, religious, I suppose, is a better word for it. He was very religious. He built an altar. And he took it to God, and he offered the altar up to God, and it was rejected. God didn't receive it. And we know that Abel offered a sacrifice of blood, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. So he knew by revelation of God that it required a blood sacrifice. But Cain didn't know that. And he offered fruits that looked really beautiful. Beautiful pineapples, watermelons, all dressed up beautiful, but God turned us down. And he was very angry. Cain was very angry and jealous of his brother. And we see he was, as I said, he was very religious, building an altar. But Cain had evil within. He just had evil within him. The Bible says that Cain was of that wicked one. Very clearly, we can read that actually. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's were righteous. So we see that Abel, he was righteous because of the blood sacrifice he just put on the altar. That made him clean. Cain didn't have blood. God requires an innocent blood sacrifice for sin. And Jesus Christ fulfilled that request. Who's glad he did? He shed his blood so that we can be clean and accepted as part of the kingdom of God. So wonderful. I love it. You can't be sitting there worrying about all your problems and all your sins. I'm not going to make it. You've made it through Christ Jesus. He died for us. He has made us pure and clean. He took all of your sin and my sin upon himself, and he died a sinner's death for you. And he gave us back his righteousness that gives us access into the kingdom of God. So we see that Cain killed Abel at his altar. Isn't that terrible? While he's offering, he was killed because he's full of jealousy. It was an evil thing in there. And right here we see also, it's almost like a Judas and a Jesus played over again. Because these spirits go right through time and history. And we see that Judas, he arranged the death of Jesus by betraying him. That spirit was in there. Even though he went to church, even though he claimed to be a disciple, he was a devil. Jesus said so. He said, one of you are a devil. Sure manifested. He killed the Son of God. Had it arranged for him to die. Who loves the Son of God? He's my Lord and he's my Savior. And Jesus died on the altar of God. He died on the altar of God, being offered for you and I. He died, being the last Adam. He was the last Adam. Just as Abel died on his altar, being the first Adam. Well, let's read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. And so it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul. We know that was Adam. And the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. That was our Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Who wants to be connected to the living spirit? Hallelujah. So notice the mark of the beast and the seal of God started in Genesis. And if you actually read your Bible, it finishes in Revelation. And these two spirits have always been there here on earth together. Even in Noah's Ark, I just saw this so beautifully. Even in Noah's Ark, you think, hey, what's going on in Noah's Ark? It's a little type for you. In Noah's Ark, they were represented. On Noah's Ark, there was a crow or a raven, whatever you want to call it, and there was a dove. And Noah sent them out to search for land. And the crow never came back to Noah. You wonder how he lived? I'll tell you how he lived. He lived off dead carcasses floating on top of the water. That's just his nature. He's a scavenger. And this character, he mixes with everything. You've got to watch these guys. You know, and I'm not talking about any person, God knows. But you've got to watch the spirit. They mix with everything. They mix with the church. They mix with the world. They go along with the world. They go along with God. And so he was happy to chew on this dead carcass to live by, or try to live by. He never returned back to Noah. A bit of this and a bit of that, a bit of the world, a bit of God. But the devil, sorry, the dove, it's bad, isn't it? The dove couldn't settle for dead things. He's a type of a true believer. The dove couldn't settle for dead stuff, only pure grain. And she returned with a green olive leaf. Hallelujah. I was just thinking about the, last week we spoke about the oil, the burning oil. You know where the oil comes from? The olive leaf. It comes from olives. I've seen them in Greece being crushed and how they get the oil out of them. They burn the oil. And we see here that he was came with the olive leaf for peace, they say, you know. He came in with a green olive leaf. He was a different character, representing the Holy Ghost, where it comes from. And it's wonderful. God's children are only satisfied with a true Holy Ghost seal. They're not satisfied with being a church member. They're not satisfied with being a gifted person. They want the seal of God. I want the seal of God. Who wants a seal? I want to be filled to overflowing with that Holy Spirit. That's what we all need, brother and sister. If you're going to be a part of the bride of Christ, you're going to have that. And he's willing to give it to you. Wonderful Savior. So it's so it's wonderful. God's children are only satisfied with the real thing. Oh, boy, I was thinking at 3 o'clock this morning in bed. I often wake up at 3 o'clock. And that's when I start thinking about things. And I'm just thinking, you know, back when I was a kid, well, I'm a kid, I suppose I was 16, 15, 16, around there. And we used to have prayer meetings. I tell you, brother, we had real prayer meetings. Sometimes I'd go to 1 o'clock in the morning. And everybody was in the spirit, weeping before the Lord. And when I used to go to bed, I'd lie down on my bed and say, Lord Jesus, he was right there again. Oh, I tell you, fill my heart. Brothers and sisters, I want to get back to that genuine outpouring of the Holy Ghost that brings such a humility and it burns the world out of you and it gives you a satisfying portion to know that he's your Heavenly Father. He gives you a seal. Hallelujah. So the seal on the inside, the seal of God, which is the Holy Spirit on the inside, keeps you clean. Guess what? The dove. You know how he gets clean? There's an oil inside of him. And the oil comes out of the dove and keeps him clean. Takes all the stuff off him, off his wings and that, so he can fly well. I think it's just so wonderful how God has used these types. Not every bird has that, but the dove does. It has a cleansing oil, and every Christian needs the cleansing oil of the Holy Ghost to be in you. It's going to take more than church membership. It's going to take more than knowing the preacher. It's got to be in you. It's got to be cleaning you. He cleans you. He makes you want the Lord. He despises the things of the world. The Bible says if you love the world and the things of the world, the love of God is not even in you. Wow. You know why, brothers and sisters? Because God will have nothing to do with it. He just lives on pure grain. And this pure grain is the Word of God. This is the seed of God. And brothers and sisters, the old crow or whatever he was, he's gobbling up these dead cows and stuff. Not a dove. It'd kill him. He doesn't have a gall, you see. He eats pure grain. Who wants to be a dove? And if you're a dove, it represents the Holy Spirit that's in you. When the Holy Spirit came to Jesus, when he came out of the water being baptized, what came to him? A dove. See, God is very consistent in all these things in the Bible. And I just think it's so wonderful. And there's much, much more. There's no way a person can bring it all out, and I can't bring it out anyway. Only God can show you and can show me. But I just pray that we'll all have that experience. So the seal of God is inside of you, and it keeps you clean. Like it keeps the dove clean in the natural. The oil, like a type of the Holy Spirit, it cleanses. It cleans all the dirt off. It makes it fall off. It's really wonderful. That's the way is to be truly sanctified, is to have the oil of God in you. It'll sanctify you, cleans you up. You know, brother, since you can't be a Christian and just live like a pig. Excuse the expression, but I'm trying to say the nature of a pig. You know, a pig's a pig. Nothing against the old pig, but it's just his nature. When you see a pig, say, piggy, you shouldn't be like that. You should be in church. And you get a bucket of water and soap and you go down and you scrub that little pig up. You make it really shiny on the outside. And you put a pink ribbon around his neck and say, you look really beautiful. Turn your back. He's straight back into that mud mire because the nature of a pig is in him. And brother and sister, you can't come to church and get cleaned up and expect to go to heaven. You've got to get the dove inside you. You've got to get that oil. You've got to get that seal of God in you that cleans you from the inside to the outside. Jesus speaks about it everywhere. I want the Holy Ghost. I want the seal of God. Praise be to God. I just think it's so wonderful, these things. It's got to be inside of you. So I've been to church every Sunday for the last 10 years. So what? The devil comes to church every Sunday. He does. He'll sit next to you. He'll tell you all sorts of nonsense. Oh, don't believe that. He's working on you and his desire is to get you into hell. That's his job. But the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost comes, it changes you. Glory to God. It changes you. It makes you no desire for the things of the world and evilness. You just want the pure holiness of God. May God grant it to us all. There's another one, just as we go by. The children of Israel coming out of Egypt. Do you know there's 2 million? Some say 2.5. It could be. Regardless, it's a lot. It's a lot of people. It's more than Gisborne. A lot more than Gisborne. Many times more than Gisborne. And here again we see the two groups. They came out, and they traveled together, and everything looked the same for a while. They were so happy, we're going to the promised land. Why? Their parents had preached it. They've been told the stories over again. God promised us to deliver us with a mighty hand. And here they were, coming out of Egypt with signs and wonders. They saw the power of God. And you know what? God's still a mighty sign and a wonder God this morning. Do you believe this? The same God that took the children of Israel out of Egypt is here this morning. Amen. He doesn't stop. He's eternal. And he's looking for hungry hearts. Everything was going good until they came to the promised land. It's time to cross over now. We're going to go across the promised land. That's what they'd been promised. And I believe that crossing over represented the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the seal of God, into the promised land. I really believe that. But most of them which came under Moses and his deliverance message, they came out, but they were not fully persuaded. A lot of people get impressed. Oh, I like that. That sounds good, but you're not impressed. You're not convinced. You need to be convinced of God's holy word and what he says. And so they didn't go over because they were frightened to go into the promised land. They thought there was a whole lot of giants, and then there were. Lots of giants in the promised land. And so many of them just bucked when it came to receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Just like they received it on the day of Pentecost. You know, brother and sister, you won't believe this. I cannot understand why people buck at the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The very thing they do not want, Brother Harold, is the very thing I want. Isn't that amazing? What they don't want, I want it. So, brother, if you don't want it, just give it here. I want to be filled with the Spirit. I want a genuine experience to cross that land, to go into that promised land. And so I believe that God will give it to us if we ask, sincerely pray and ask him to do it. And so we see they didn't go there. They were afraid of the giants of the land. Look, wherever you go, there's going to be giants. But if God's with you, who cares? If God is with you, he'll take care of the giants. I believe it. There might be a lot of giants in New Zealand. There may be a lot of things that bother you. Just remember, God is the king. God is in control. He rules in the affairs of men. In the kingdom of men, God rules. Who believes that? I believe it with all my heart. And so, they don't want to go through that process. Some people say, if I get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what will happen? Do I have to cry? I tell you, some people have a funny criteria. Do I have to cry? Don't worry about crying. You'll cry. He'll cry through you. The Spirit of God brings on that great repentance, that great joy. You know, sometimes I've seen people who have repented, and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I've seen hundreds and maybe thousands. I have had the privilege of being in many, many, many churches around overseas. And I've seen wonderful altar calls. I really have. God is my witness. He knows I'm telling you the truth. And they look like they're all sad because they're all crying. They're crying because of joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And they weep and cry and praise God. And they shout and they thank him for everything. You know, when you get in the Spirit, you'll act very strange. People think you're very strange, but just leave us that way. We're happy that way. We're happy to be in the presence of the Lord. You know, sometimes I just think I'm too stiff and starchy. You know, I really believe that, brothers and sisters. I've had some wonderful experiences. God is my witness. I've had tremendous experiences. I remember when I first was baptized with the Holy Ghost and how the Spirit of God came on me many times. And I was a little kid from the Baptist church. I hope no Baptists here. And I praised God and spoke in unknown tongues, and I was not taught. I didn't even know. It just happened. That's what happens when God gets a hold of you. You don't need man's help. God is able to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. It's just so wonderful. I know there's people out there on the net who are hungering for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I just want to say to you that God cares for you, and he knows you want it. You keep seeking him, he's going to give it to you. He will not fail you. He'll never fail you. So when the fire comes into your life, It'll burn out all the flesh. Fleshly lust. And all those horrible things. It'll burn it out of you. Oh, it's a wonderful fire. We spoke about burning oil last week. The fire of the Holy Ghost is a good burner. It'll burn out all the sin and all the dross and all the world and all the selfishness and all the pride. He'll burn it right out of you, make you meek and lowly like a little lamb. That's what it does to you. That's why you need it, because nothing else will enter heaven. You've got to have the right spirit. You've got to have the right desire. And he's the only one that can help you. So it takes the working of the Holy Spirit to change you. Whom God foreknew, he draws to himself. Let's read that in John 6:44. No man. Now listen. These are the words of Jesus. They are not my words. No man can come to me. Oh, that's terrible. No one can come to me, can't come to Jesus. Why? Except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. If you go into the grave, you'll be sure of one thing, you're getting out of it. For he is the resurrection and the power. But you, when you feel the drawing power of the Holy Spirit, maybe some of you here this morning will feel the drawing power of the Holy Spirit. That is God giving you an opportunity. You are blessed among millions to have a desire for God. A desire. Some people don't have a desire. Nobody home. No desire. You can't help it. When God calls you, you feel that wonderful surge. Who wants more of God? Say amen. Well, God puts a desire in you. You can't come to him unless my Father draw you. So that's how it goes. I'm so glad when he draws me. I want more of the Lord. Who loves the Lord Jesus? Amen. Don't you think he's wonderful? Amen. Do you know he can overcome your problems? He can overcome all your sicknesses, all your doubts and fears. He can do all that. Is there anything too hard for the Lord?
No.
There we are, Brother Paul. My brother Paul from Vancouver was here. And he said, hey, no. And, oh, he really said it. And I said, well, that's because we believe it, brother. Is there anything too hard for the Lord?
No.
Amen. That's what he said to Jeremiah. There's nothing too hard. He can sort you out like that. The thing is, you've got to be sincere and honest in your heart that you want to be filled with the Spirit of God. You want that seal. It becomes the most important thing in your life. You know, they had the revivals way back, many years ago, up in England, those places. The Holy Spirit started to be poured out amongst the people in the villages. And you know what they did? They went down the streets and said, the village is on fire. The villages are on fire. They went on fire. It was the Holy Ghost. Actually, in the houses, the people upstairs with their windows open praying in the early hours of the morning, waiting on the Spirit of God. And you know what, brother and sister? They just wanted him so bad, they said they just didn't care about their sleep. When you get hungry for God, you won't worry about sleeping. I'm talking about God moving in your life when he starts to give you such a hunger. Sleep goes out the window. Oh, don't you love him? Who loves him?
Amen.
He's so wonderful. I believe him. He's here right now to bless hungry hearts. You say, oh, I can't be blessed today. Yes, you can. If you want to touch him, you'll get to him. Like the woman, she came up to Jesus and she had a need in her life. She was sick. She said, I've got to get to Jesus. I just got to touch the border of his garment. And so she went in there, couldn't get in, just a little lady, they're pushing her out. She couldn't get in because it was too crowded. God knew she wanted him. She couldn't get through and she pushed and she squeezed, going nowhere. So you know what she did? She got on her knees like this. It's a good thing to get on your knees. Prayer does a lot of things for you. And she got on her knees. She started pushing through the crowd. And the Bible says maybe she just saw him. She looked through their legs and she saw the hem of his garments. That's why it says the hem of his garment, because she was low down. You've got to get down to see Christ. You've got to humble yourself and say, Lord, I want you above everything. And when she touched his garment, she was instantly made whole. Jesus said, who touched me? You know the story. Brother and sister, if you want the Holy Ghost, you've got to press in for it. The kingdom of God is taken by force. It says so. John the Baptist said that. It'll be taken by force. If you want God, you've got to press in. You've got to let nothing stop you. Not your wife, your children, not your job. You want him above everything. Then you're going to get somewhere with God. So we see the Holy Spirit came to seal into his body. God sent the Holy Spirit back. He said he would. I'll send you the Comforter, he said, which is the Holy Spirit. When he came back to seek out a wife for his son, Jesus Christ, and his wife is called the bride. If you want to be the bride of Christ, you need to be filled with his Spirit. Hallelujah. Well, all those who knew before the foundation of the world. Oh, isn't that wonderful, Brother Lee? You quoted that. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. God knows all about you. He knows all about me. And I'm going to be there. Brother Reef, I'm going to be there because he chose me before the foundation of the world. It wasn't me being extra super spiritual. No, 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 no. I was a little rat bag. But he chose me. Who believes God's chosen you? Then he will fulfill his word and promise in you. Hallelujah. So we see it's such a wonderful thing. Those who crossed over into the promised land were sealed in. When God places the seal of God on your life, it's for eternity. Nobody can remove it from you. Nobody can remove the seal of God from you, not even God himself. He has made up his mind and sealed you in. You cannot be taken out. Once he puts that seal there, that carriage has got to go through all the way to glory. So the Holy Ghost is in the sealing business today. You know, brother and sister, the world's worrying about this, worrying about that. The coronavirus drives me sick hearing about it. But anyway. But God's looking to seal people with the Holy Ghost. Who believes that? Amen. You get in the queue. Get on the platform. I'm going to take this train. I want to get on. I want to be sealed on this train to glory. And he's looking around, finding those who he can seal. Now, look at the criteria. I thought it was really interesting. Now, I want you to notice this just very... I thought it was a real blessing just reading this. Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 4. Speaking to the angels, sealing angels went around putting the seal of God on those who really believe. And the Lord said unto them, go through the midst of the city and through the midst of Jerusalem and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for the abomination that's done in the midst of Gisborne. Those that are sighing and crying for the sin of this city, they're the ones that are going to be sealed. Because God wants to know that you mean business. You're not just a churchgoer. You mean business. We live in a wicked generation, a nation of unbelief. We're a pagan nation. I'm sorry to say that, but that's the truth. No one wants God. You know, they talk about this coronavirus stuff. It's all about what the doctors can do, what we can do, and we are this and we are that. Nothing mentioned about God. If God takes his hand off New Zealand, we're all dead men. So that was in Ezekiel 9:4, and I thought it was interesting. In the New Testament, with the same chapter and the same verse, 9:4 here, Ezekiel 9:4, this is Revelation 9:4. I thought it was very significant that God wants us to get the message. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. You know, brothers and sisters, with a judgment angel strike this earth, and I tell you what, you need to have the Holy Ghost. That is your only protection. And when the angels see that, you're safe and sound in the love of God and in His care. I really believe that. So it's time for lamp trimming time. We spoke about that last week. Who trimmed the lamp last week? That brother down there did. Was there anybody else that trimmed their lamp last week? We spoke about lamp trimming time. You've got to trim the wick off, stopping the light, stopping the Holy Ghost reflecting out of you. So many claim to be walking with God, but God is only looking for one thing, the seal of God. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. When I went down to Egypt, it was a sign also of the token. It was a token that they believed in the sacrifice in the house. They believed that when that lamb died, the blood ran, they were covered. And they got the blood and they put it on the doorpost and lintels of the house. And when the death angel came through Egypt and he saw that blood, that token, that seal, they were safe. And brothers and sisters, when the judgment strikes this earth and it's coming real close, you need the Holy Ghost. As a sign that the blood of Jesus has been applied to your life. So many preachers have made light of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. May God give them another opportunity quickly, for time is running out, I believe. The sealing is nearly over. The sealing is nearly over. When the last predestinated soul comes in, Jesus will come. Who's looking forward to the coming of the Lord? Amen. I tell you, that's our life. That's why we come to church, to get closer to God. Praise be to God. Those that are ready will enter into the marriage supper of the Lamb. Oh, I get preaching on the coming of the Lord. I tell you what, I get excited. That's the next event is His coming. And your next event is to be ready. For Jesus said, be ye therefore ready for an hour when you think not. When you think not. Oh, I don't come today or tomorrow. If you think like that, He could. The Son of Man cometh. Be ready. Get that oil. Get the Holy Spirit in you. Ask God to give it to you. They tell a story of a metal workshop. Very big metal workshop. This is true. So all the workers, whistle go, take the aprons off, stick them up. And the manager said, come this way, stand here. When he got standing there, he said, watch this. And all the workers had moved away, and the tables were there, and all the pieces of filing, cutting off a metal. He turned a switch, boom. And from the back came down an electromagnet. Came rolling over that workshop. And every piece that was attracted to the magnet was taken up. Now, brother and sister, anything that wasn't was left on the floor. I tell you what, when that big magnet of the Holy Ghost comes down across the earth, I want to be magnetized to that magnet. I want to have the Holy Spirit calling to the Holy Spirit. Deep calling unto the deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. I want to be attracted and taken up to be with Him. That is my expectation. Is that in your expectation? God wants you to be this. Oh, I'm not a very good Christian. You can be in Christ Jesus. He can make you clean if you ask Him to do it for you. And they're swept over the floor, and God will take everyone that's ready to go. There'll be none missing at the wedding supper. The tables are set, the plates are out, the cutlery's there, and your name is sitting there. Brother Tom. It won't be an English brother. It'll be a new name. But your name will be there, and that's where you sit. I hope I'm across the table from you, brother. Won't that be wonderful? Do you believe this? This is what it's all about. He'll come in an hour when you think not. Be there for ready. We want to have the seal of God. May God grant it to us, the seal of God. We want to be magnetized to Christ at the end of this age. All Holy Ghost sealed believers will be magnetized to Christ and go up with him to meet him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Won't that be wonderful? This is our life. This is, you know, brothers, this is not just coming to church. Oh, we came to church and, you know, like we said last week, when the Holy Spirit moved, and days gone by, and there's a great move of God. Great miracles happened. Great miracles. Arms put back on people. People raising out of the wheelchairs. Cancers destroyed. Everything. Why? Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And brothers and sisters, they just went out testifying what God had done. And they said, oh, that's really wonderful, sister. Who is the preacher? We don't know. God was there. That's all we know. That's what we want here. We want to see God here, not preachers. We want to see the Lord come down and minister to us and give us that seal of God that we're all looking for and go to meet him in the air. What a day of rejoicing. Oh, I just happen to believe this. I just believe it's going to happen. Do you believe it's going to happen?
Amen.
It's for you then, my brother and sister. Let's believe. Shall we all just stand to our feet now? Lord Jesus, we come to thee with our heads bowed and our hearts too, Lord, to thee, Lord. And you know that we're longing for your coming. Lord, the Spirit and the bride say, come. That we're all looking, come quickly, Lord Jesus. The sign says above our head, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Lord, we can't stand this much longer. This world is so unbelieving. But we want you. We want the Holy Ghost to be holy in our lives. I pray, Lord, you'll clean up the mess. Lord, if there's anything that's not pleasing to you, reveal it to us now and show us what we must do. May we truly repent of our sins, Lord, and ask God to forgive us of our sins, be baptized in your name, Lord, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name you'll grant that to every person here. He wants the Lord to touch you this morning. He will touch you. If you're hungry for him, he'll touch you. Who's shackled with a heavy burden this morning? Just take it to the Lord now. Shackled by a heavy be burdened. Meet the Lord of guilt and shame. Hallelujah, Lord. Then the hand of Jesus touched me. And now I am no longer ashamed. Lord, let us be Lord. there anything too hard for the Lord? Nothing's too hard. He can touch you. You just got to really mean business, like the woman that touched the border of his garment. She didn't care. She just wanted to be touched. If you really know that you need him, you'll reach out to him with all that's within you. Brothers and sisters, a great opportunity. If anybody would like prayer, just come down to the altar. If you really want God to touch you, I believe he will. Then we'll reach out to him and say, Lord, touch us, Lord. Make us a new creature in you. Burn out of us everything that's displeasing to you. And God will give you that wonderful infilling of the Holy Spirit, that wonderful token, that wonderful seal of God to come upon you. Yes, he touched me. Yes, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. Came.
Praise Jesus.
Don't see anybody come down here. Not that you have to come to the front, but you know, it just depends how earnest you are. We're going to sing this chorus once more. If anyone wants to come, feel free to come before we depart. He touched me. Yes, he touched me. And oh,
amen. Let's sing number 16. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Just sing that quietly and consider the words.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today.
Run my desire.
just a moment. The altar is still open. And if you want to come, come. Don't let anything stop you. If you've not done it before, make the move. Make a start. The people that are watching on the internet, just get on your knees and say, thank you, Lord. Here I am. He'll come. Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Fill my poor heart with thy great love divine. Just going to close at this time and thank the Lord for the lunch that we're about to receive, and you all are welcome, invited to be there. And then 1 o'clock we have another service here. Lord Jesus, we're very grateful for what you've done for us. There's been people that have been touched by the Holy Spirit. It's not the church, it's not the people, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And you are the Holy Spirit. You are God Himself. You are the Son of God. You are the all of them, Lord. And we just thank you that you've touched our hearts. As spoken, we can't even come unto you until the Father calls. We're very grateful, Lord. Just bless the people who we don't have here that are on the internet at their time of just committing themselves to you. Bless them, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the luncheon we're about to have, for the fellowship we're about to have, and for the meeting at 1 o'clock. Bless all to us, we pray. Amen. We're going to sing as we go, Mercy Rewrote My Life. Mercy rewrote my life. Mercy rewrote my life. I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but mercy rewrote my life. Mercy rewrote my life. Mercy rewrote my life. I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but mercy rewrote my life. May the Lord bless you.